Lexington, News Talk, 96.1, AM 1370 and WGCORadio.com. The In the Zone radio program live on a Wednesday night, September 16, 2015. Thank you for being with us on an absolutely perfect day in Bloomington. As the sun is out, not too many clouds in the sky, and a great, great weekend on tap for some more football and plenty of stuff going on as well. We'll have the Colts for you. We'll get to all the that's on Monday night, so we'll probably not go too Colts heavy tonight just because we'll have a big show on Monday. Monday is the first edition of In the Red Zone. We'll take you until the Colts pregame at 7:30 on Monday night, so an extra half hour of football to get you caught up on everything happening in the NFL and the college game, the extended program every Monday in football season until the new year. So fun stuff on all of that. We thank you for being with us this evening. With me is Doug, my good friend Terry Stoltz. T, good afternoon. How are you?
Michael, we should be on the golf course.
We should be. If we could get those mobile headsets working, we would be out there, and we could stick the antenna on the back of the cart on top of the cooler, and we'd be ready to roll. And also joining us today is our good friend Zach Osterman from the Indy Star, the beat writer for the Hoosiers football and basketball programs. Good afternoon. How are you?
I got no complaints.
None? Good. That's good. You came to the right spot, because no one's going to address those here, but we are going to address what's happening with the Hoosiers. Some basketball stuff we'll get to a little bit later, obviously, with some recruiting season stuff heating up, and that's always on the forefront of everybody's mind. The good news talking about basketball this time of year is positive in the recruiting world, not anything to do with anything else. That's always good. But we get things started today with Western Kentucky. They come to town on Saturday, ESPN News, 4 p.m. at Memorial Stadium. The issue that we're looking at, all of us are looking at right now, 50% chance of scattered thunderstorms throughout the day on Saturday. So let's hope we get lucky and that forecast changes itself up by the time we get to kickoff against the Hilltoppers. And also the traffic in and out of Bloomington, Monroe County, Morgan County, 37, and everywhere else. As Fred Glass told us last night on Joe Smith's program, text IUFB to 313131, and you get up-to-the-minute traffic updates, advice, alternate routes, what's going on in Bloomington. So if you know folks that are coming down, if you are from Indy, if you know anybody that's coming that way, that's always helpful as well. And one more piece of traffic advice while we're on it, the Ellettsville Fall, or the Monroe County Fall Festival Parade is at noon on Saturday. So 46 through Ellettsville will be one lane each direction for a period of time to get that parade through. So you might want to factor that into your time clock. Good pieces of advice to pass on. For those of us who don't live in Bloomington, where we just have to go 10 minutes, the other folks coming down, whether it's 65, 135, or whatever back ways you can find, just take your time, and hopefully the weather cooperates and you can have a nice day. Plenty to do in Bloomington before the game and plenty to do afterwards. So we have open arms as we get ready. But the story is there should be more people in the stands, we hope. 8 o'clock games are tough, especially with that traffic. We saw it last weekend. It wasn't that's just a tough one for folks to – what time the game end? 12:15 by the time you get in your car and turn around and head back up there. I don't care how nice it is during the day. The rain might have scared you away. But anyhow, those – problems can be solved, Terry Stoltz. How can all those problems be solved? Getting people in the seats, getting attention and hype around the program. How do you solve that?
Win, baby.
There you go.
Just win.
One simple word. And the Hoosiers have held up to their end of the spectrum. They've won their first two games, first time since when? They've started off the season
2012.
So not bad. It's nuts. It's new territory. It hasn't been pretty at times. It hasn't been – this isn't going in Canton in the Hall of Fame section or wherever they've put the College Football Hall of Fame, Notre Dame now. It hasn't been perfect, and I think as an Indiana fan, you should have expected that to a degree coming in. We told you about Nate Sudfeld, how he's only had 13 or 14 career starts. He's not some polished 50-start, three-year guy who's coming back for one more year. He's had injury problems. He's shared time through the years. It's not surprising that he is not 100%. We looked at his numbers last year earlier in the season. He didn't start off very well. He didn't play very well at Bowling Green in the loss. He really started to break out, sadly, in the game against Missouri before he got injured. So this part of the offense is coming together. How are you going to replace the running backs? That looks to be taken care of. How is the offensive line with all of its accolades or all of its preseason hype? How are they going to stay fit? What's going on the defensive side of the ball? And Terry, I think before we get to Zach here, in the first couple of games, I think if you spun the wheel, it's landed on every spot. I think you've seen a little good here and a little bad just about from every all sides of the football.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, from the tackling, just reading schemes, everything. I mean, you can fault everybody. Probably the only guy in my mind, in the first two games that I felt played well on defensive end for both games was probably Nick Mangieri. He just seemed to be solid everywhere. But that's a three-year starter that he may be back. It's a new position technically for him, but that's kind of a position I think he's
down,
more familiar
he's up,
with.
He's down.
Yeah. And all over the place.
And even you can nitpick on Mangieri because the first game they really didn't get any pressure on Southern Illinois up front. So I think the room to grow is fantastic. I thought an advantage to last week's game, Zach, was when the Hoosiers went into the game against Florida International, two things were in a positive direction. Indiana didn't win their first game 56-0, and Florida International didn't lose their game 56-0. Nobody was too high. Nobody thought, hey, this is going to be cakewalk city. You had a tough opponent in Southern Illinois that you won the game. Every play mattered in that game. And then you saw Florida International go to UCF, a BCS team just a few years ago, and they didn't get wiped out. So they have your attention. Everybody's attention's kept. I think that's been a positive to start the year and keep that focus. We saw a 73 to whatever it was against Indiana State a few years ago. Sometimes you can start reading a little bit more and getting your head a little – does your head helmet fit on anymore on that? Do you think that's been part of keeping the focus, or do you think it's just where this team has grown to right now?
Well, I mean, it's probably a little bit of both. And I think that it is interesting you say that because that was kind of something that was sort of an undercurrent theme of the preseason was guys talking about buy-in and focus. And you hear these sort of cliche terms, and you've got to see them sort of acted out and put into practice to really buy them. But it does seem like so far, maybe even after this week, we've heard a lot more self-critique than sort of self or even sort of teammate praise or player praise from coaches.
Right.
I think,
and Sudfeld was the key to that. If you heard his press comments,
I mean,
my goodness, he stood up there for 8 minutes and blamed himself for everything that went on. That's a sign of a good leader.
Well, and that's and it does seem very much like this is a team taking its keys from two or three guys. Sudfeld being one, Mangieri being one, a couple of those linebackers, probably T.J. Simmons, throw him in there. But it, you know, again, I mean, until. At the same time, Kevin Wilson has talked since he got to Bloomington about the fact that he feels like this is a team that still struggles at times, and a program that he's always felt has struggled with success. That too often guys would have, he'd say, a good practice, they'd feel good about themselves, and the rest of the week would be ruined. Or that, you know, his team would put together a good weekend. They put together a good week of practice. They'd win nice on Saturday, and then you wouldn't really be able to get them to corral it back and come back to that focus.
Do you think that's different this year because of the hyper competition at probably 20 of the 22 places on the field right now? Besides, I'll throw the offensive line as one group. I know that's good competition, but you've got guys on the defensive line, obviously with Green and Latham not playing. You've had guys that are in there. Obviously, the secondary is up for grabs with Dutra being out trying to fill spots. The wide receiver core, it just seems like you've got 6-7 guys. The running back core, it just seems like there's a better competition. I don't know if that results in wins or losses. I think that can help focus in practice.
Well, I wonder if it has something to do. This might be the first time really in Wilson's tenure that I can point at one of his teams and say, here are the sort of unquestioned leaders. There's only one quarterback.
Good point.
In terms of, you've got a pretty clear idea who's in charge of basically every position room. Even Dutra in the preseason, everybody was saying that's Chase Dutra's secondary room. You know, it's T.J. Simmons and Zach Shaw. Zach Shaw is in the Bandits. They actually have a room inside the NEZ. The sign on the door says Bandits.
Bandits.
so they split them with
a
linebackers.
Big lock on it. Yes.
But in all seriousness, I mean, you know, that's Jason Spriggs and Dan Feeney and Jake Reed's room. There's always kind of been a feeling like you had a lot of good leadership personalities, but maybe sometimes there were too many of them. And I think it's really unquestioned, especially when you do talk about Sudfeld, about Mangieri, about some of those guys who've been around for 3, 4, 5 years. It is really clear to me that those are the guys that everybody's taking their cue from on this team. And I think it's in the past, sometimes maybe it's been when you play a lot of younger guys alongside older guys, both sides kind of want to lead. Both sides want to be vocal, and sometimes that just kind of runs in because you need a little bit of structure there. I think Indiana's got it, and I think that it sounds so simple and it sounds so boilerplate and yearbook answer, but I think it matters a lot to this team.
Zach Osterman's our guest this evening. He's the beat writer at the Indy Star for Indiana football and Indiana basketball, at Zach Osterman. You can find him there. And Terry, just watching the first couple of games, obviously the biggest difference is going to be the defensive performance. Southern Illinois, I think, was a little bit better than a lot of people gave them credit for. Florida International did some things that bothered Indiana, but not a tremendous amount of them. It was different than what Southern Illinois did. I think that the Green coming back, he knocks down a pass with the first play of the game, and Latham coming back helps. But the secondary still had some questions. The linebackers still were making some plays, not making some plays. But the defense played better. I think we can all agree to that.
No, I agree with that. And like we were talking Monday, I mean, even Chris Denary and Chuck Long on the broadcast made the point of the younger guys in the secondary were getting better as the game went on. And I think a great thing that's helped this team this year is through the first four games, each opponent, you're getting better each week. I mean, Western Kentucky may be, you know, they may not be looked at. They're not division.
They won a bowl game last year. That's
exactly.
What they
won a bowl game. They got a lot of people back. But each week gets incrementally a little tougher. Now, you may not think Wake Forest is, but it's at Wake Forest. As we know, Hoosiers don't travel well. So, yeah, I think each week these guys have been, they're kind of coming together. I like what Zach just said about the leadership. And then as every opponent gets tougher, and the coaches can beat that into them. And then the fifth one, well, that's only the defending national champ. So
there you go. Well, you know what's in front of you, but
exactly.
Everyone else always says the biggest jump, it seems to be, is made from week one to week two. Is that accurate with this Indiana team? I'll argue it was good. The balance was good on offense. The defense obviously was better. I think the opponent was 22 better than Southern Illinois. Southern Illinois did some really good stuff offensively. I don't know how good they were defensively. But do you think that jump was made? And did Wilson's message get through to the defensive side of the ball, you think?
Well, I think to the first question, you know, it's hard to quantify until you kind of go back from like week 10 or week 11 and really say that. I think a lot of times, though, what guys mean by that is that you break from that camp cycle of just getting so tunnel vision toward the idea of starting the season, and once you can just kind of get into that rhythm of like
routine,
Sunday we do this, and Monday we have off, and Tuesday we do this, and Wednesday, et cetera, I think that's a big part of it. And actually having game film of your own and game film of an opponent to sort of post-mortem, because that's the other thing you're always struggling with in the preseason is, you know, this defensive coordinator moved over from this school, so do we study their defense from last season? Do we study the school he's at now? Like, how do we balance that? To the second question, I think if there's one thing that did get through, or at least one thing that Wilson really hoped happened that would happen that did, it was the idea that they slowed some things down for those young secondary guys, and they really focused mostly on keeping confidence high. And I wrote about this earlier this week. You saw that in the way guys rebounded from making pretty big mistakes, pretty serious mistakes. I mean, Jameel Cook gives up a touchdown, then the interception return. He's the most obvious one, but Rashard Fant had two pass interference penalties. I know Indiana doesn't think they were necessarily penalties, but
they were called.
He comes back with two really big pass breakups on a drive in the fourth quarter. Andre Brown gets burned deep, and then you don't hear from him again, but he's on the field a lot, and that's generally a good thing for a cornerback. If he's out there and he's not making a ton of plays, it's because he's not getting thrown to a lot. It was just this idea that basically what Wilson said was, we've got to recognize that we're going to make mistakes. What we've got to do is make sure that those mistakes don't drag us down. And a first quarter mistake doesn't become a second quarter mistake, doesn't become moving too slow in the third quarter.
It's almost like a closer in baseball. If you give up a home run once on Monday, you're still going to pitch Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and you've got to go out there and strike the next guys out. You can't shy away from it. There's nowhere to hide from it. Did this defense get better this week against Florida International because of the additions of Green and Latham? Will it get better this coming week against Western Kentucky, who Coach Wilson said that Tigray Scales might be his best linebacker? He returns to the fray. Is that something that fans should say, well, now these guys got a game under their belt? You bring Scales back. Dutra's hopefully going to play. Now we'll see the band all back together for the first time all year.
I mean, I think they will. I really do. I think Latham in particular played maybe the best game I've ever seen from him in an Indiana uniform, certainly one of the top two or three.
And I don't care about those penalties either. He was just aggressive.
I mean, those are penalties that most coaches
have them, but he was mean.
Those are penalties most coaches will live with, because they're penalties of being aggressive. They're penalties of trying too hard rather than not trying hard enough. Green, I mean, he had some nice plays. I'm not trying to, you know, just sort of demean his performance. I thought Latham was maybe one of the best players Indiana had aside from the penalties. I recognize why maybe the penalties preclude you from getting quote-unquote a winning grade from your coaches. And I think that Scales coming back, and I've said this multiple times, Western Kentucky runs a spread passing offense. Indiana does not have a linebacker better in coverage than Tigre Scales.
And you saw by some of his interceptions last year.
And just his general athleticism. And, you know, I said this earlier this week talking to somebody. Indiana's had good coverage linebackers, and it's had good run-stopping linebackers. It's rarely had guys that could do both. Tigre Scales can do both. He can support the run, absolutely, and he can also flex out and cover a slot receiver for 5 or 10 yards if you need him to. And that is going to be crucial for Indiana this week. Western Kentucky, very pass-heavy in general. Their top two running backs are – well, their best running back, their top running back, is out for the rest of the season.
Just had
their number two running back, it sounds like, is probably going to miss this game. In fact, it sounds like the guy who might get the most carries is Anthony Davis, who
was a former
Hoosier, a walk-on who he received a scholarship at least last year. I'm not sure about 2 years ago, but is finishing up a grad transfer year at Western Kentucky. But particularly against the pass, you're going to need a guy like Scales. I think that return is very, very important.
Did you find it interesting that Green and Latham were playing together a lot in that game?
Well, that is interesting. Basically, just when you – I mean, you look at the two deep, it doesn't mean a lot. But
sure,
when you look at the lineups and the sort of way that Indiana – they're both technically defensive tackles. And Indiana has three spots along that line. Defensive end, that's Nick Mangieri most often. I mean, he's their number one guy there. Defensive tackle, Latham was kind of, I think, seen as the number one DT coming into the preseason. And then nose tackle, or whatever you want to call it, nose tackle, nose guard. That's been Adarius Rayner and Nate Hoff. We saw plenty of them.
Sure.
But I do think it's interesting
to see Latham and Green playing
side by side. Particularly when you're thinking about facing a team where a pass rush is going to be paramount. And a team where getting upfield, getting vertical. And I think those two guys, maybe at times, yeah, more than Rayner or Hoff, are guys that you really want. Because a lot of times in the 3-4, what your linemen are trying to do is just kind of create some chaos at the line of scrimmage and open holes for linebackers and safeties to come in and make plays. But if you're rushing the passer, you need those linemen to get in there too. You need them to be collapsing the pocket just as much as if you're bringing a fourth, you know, blitzer or a fifth blitzer from the linebacker, the second level. So I think you might see more of that this week. I don't know if you'll see more of that all the time. They are, again, listed on the two deep, which is largely meaningless for Kevin Wilson at the same position. But I think it was an astute observation, because I think it's going to be something that might matter more this weekend.
That's Zach Osterman. At Zach Osterman, the Indy Star beat writer for Indiana football and basketball. Terry Stoltz is here as well. Dave's on vacation. He'll be back next week. And, T, when we look about what's happening on the defensive side and the offensive side, how much do you think they showed the last couple of weeks? You made the point about you might be facing better competition, tougher games perhaps, as the preseason wears on, and Ohio State's number one, obviously, in the country, number one on Indiana's Big Ten list. I think it's been a vanilla enough where it's getting the job done, but Wilson's run the ball on 3rd and 7 in his red zone. I think we haven't seen the whole folder yet, have you?
No, definitely not. And this Western Kentucky game is a game that all summer, all fall long, it started, everybody's talking about, that's the game we could lose. They've got that many people back. Of course, now they've got some sizable injuries. But, yeah, I don't think there's a lot that he'll pull out of the hat if he needs to in the next 2 weeks. I think we're – and the longer we go, I think we're going to see, as we talked Monday, we're going to see Nate Sudfeld dust off a little rust. I don't think he's been sharp at all, but he can be. And he's leading the team. He's running the ball. He's added that little threat right now that he never did the last couple of years.
No,
so,
he was and you hold your breath every time
he does, but
he seems to be picking and choosing his spots well. Indiana's running game has allowed them to be vanilla. Is that accurate, do you think? Because they're getting plenty, I don't want to say plenty of yards per carry, but they're getting plenty of production from Jordan Howard. They don't really have to dig deep into the book, do you think?
Well, I mean, I think it's fair to say the best offenses are a little bit vanilla.
Yeah,
because they don't need to be that complicated.
Right.
And obviously you want to have layers and schemes and things that you can go to, you know, things that you – and first of all, to your point, nobody has gone that deep into their playbook at this time of year. I mean, it's just how it works. You're not even ready a lot of the time. You haven't even installed all of your playbook.
The Ricky Jones end around was the razzle dazzle for
that was a fun little play to watch. But in general, I think the best offenses can be very straightforward. I mean, think about Ohio State maybe not this year because all of a sudden you got three quarterbacks in the
three
dynamic.
All-American quarterbacks.
But you know, last year with the way they would run Ezekiel Elliott and whoever was playing quarterback, think about Auburn. Gus Malzahn doesn't do a lot of he dresses it up with a lot of weird shifts and stuff, but ultimately that's a lot of downhill running.
Watch your
and
language.
I think that but I think that particularly with this running game, and I have tried very hard every time I've talked about this since the preseason began, not to sound like I was taking a shot at Tevin Coleman, because obviously was an outstanding season last year.
It's not the same.
But without a mobile quarterback, and Sudfeld can run in the way that any 22-year-old who's in the best, you know, shape of his life can probably run. But without a truly mobile quarterback, a running game that can just grind out 4, 5, 4, 5, 3, 4, 5 yards that can just keep you on schedule from first down to second down to third down to make sure that if we're talking about pages of the playbook, they keep getting opened up. One of the things I've said that about Jordan Howard is everybody remembers the powerful runs, like the guy one where he knocked the guy's helmet off.
Right.
What he's just as good at is knowing when not to lower his shoulder, but when to plant and spin and know he's going to get tackled because he's not the most nimble guy in the world. But that he's going to get tackled going forward, as opposed to trying to square up with somebody and give them the chance to drive him back. He gets tackled around the knees, and he's spinning forward for an extra 2 or 3 yards. That is a running game that keeps you on schedule, allows you to stay basic, and I think that's a big part of this.
And I thought Wilson had an interesting point about him. He's not quick enough to hit the hole. He lets the hole develop, where sometimes Tevin might have been a half click. If you just waited, he'd had some bigger gaps to run through. That's what I'm getting from that. But Howard had 180. I'm trying to look this up. 184 the last time against 183 on 34 carries and scored twice when UAB played the Hilltoppers last year. So he'll be licking his chops. He's averaging, what, 150 a game or right around there. So that part of the offense seems to be figured out. Devine Redding has done a nice job on the limited carries he's had, hits the hole hard, runs hard, and gets after it. The question I think a lot of people had was, what's the wide receiver core going to do? After 2 weeks, it hasn't been flooded with balls, but the balls they saw last weekend ended up in their hands and not on the turf. I thought that was interesting as well. It looked like everybody's a little bit more comfortable. The tight ends, plenty of strength and numbers there. Are we just waiting for Sudfeld and that playbook to get opened up?
I mean, I think so to a degree, and I think that you can already see – you can even see how the promise of a very good relationship between Sudfeld and Ricky Jones, Sudfeld and Simi Cobbs, you know, how much do you use Mitchell Page? I think Mitchell Page is a good player. I've just always thought Nate Sudfeld's strength was his ability to throw downfield. It's not so much that you have bad slot receivers. I think it's just that his best strengths – are using the sideline, moving the pocket. I think he's gotten a lot better at and that's
his
not the
footwork,
same as running, but
right.
Yeah, just moving the pocket and always leaving himself an out when he does need to run. And those guys that work the sidelines, he's looked really good throwing to Jones, to Simi Cobbs. I think Nick Westbrook, the freshman, is going to keep coming along. I think, as you said, that tight end core is going to keep coming along.
As much as you talk about,
you know, maybe him being slower the first couple weeks, he had 8 different receivers in the game against Southern Illinois. So he's clearly in command of what he's got at his fingertips. And you would just expect, as the season goes on, he gets more comfortable. Yes, the playbook will get a little bit more complicated, and you'll just generally be – I think Indiana's also still kind of dialing in how to play to its greatest strengths right now offensively. I still see times where, like, the offensive line looks like it's clearing a hole Tevin Coleman would want, not a hole Devine Redding or Jordan Howard would want. That's not abnormal. It's one of those things that it comes with time to figure out what one guy likes as opposed to what another guy would have liked. I think that offensively, Indiana's – I mean, I believe they're still leading the Big Ten in total offense after 2 weeks. I know that's not – a huge thing to say, but it also is indicative. After, frankly, starting slow in three of Wilson's previous 4 years offensively, even
they've been slow this year, trailing at halftime in both games, but still have found a way to find yards, found a way to get down the field. And before you get a parking ticket, give us one key. If you had to pick out one key of Saturday's game against Western Kentucky, 4 o'clock at Memorial Stadium, for Indiana to be successful, it would be what?
I think it has to be the. You got to get points at the end of drives, and that's something else I wrote about this week. There were too many drives that stalled. you know, Kevin Wilson.
Third
kind
and
of
seven.
Yeah. Kevin Wilson admitted. I mean, he said he thought he made some weird play calls, some weird red zone decisions. Nate Sudfeld said, no, that was, you know, this was kind of one of the funnier
I'm
parts.
Checking
of
out, yeah.
Yeah, well, Sudfeld said, you know, like, that was my fault. Coach didn't need to take responsibility. And Wilson just kind of said, he's my guy a little bit right there. He's covering for me. But in general, I think that as good as Indiana's, or as much as Indiana's defense seems to have improved from week one to week two, they're going to get lit up a little bit this week. It's just going to happen. Western Kentucky's too good. Brandon Dowdy is too good of a quarterback. This is not
Vanderbilt's defense.
This is not a game. Well, Derek Mason's a pretty good defensive coach.
Oh, good point.
This is not a game where Indiana can afford to have like 7 points from its first three drives to keep getting across the 50 and keep having to settle for field goal attempts. This is a game you're going to have to win a little bit in a shootout. Is it first to 50? We'll see. But I think it's absolutely a game that you're going to have to win more like that Southern Illinois game. It's a game that Indiana's offense is going to have to win first. And then if your defense comes up with some stops or gets stronger in the fourth quarter.
Situational, that's all.
Things like
ask.
That. I mean, if it looks like it did last week, then you're fine. But I think if you're Indiana, what needs to happen first is that offense needs to figure out how to close drives. They're also 10 of 10 in the red zone, so they're clearly finishing when they get down there. It's a question of kind of from the 50 to the 30, maintaining that level of – or the 50 to the 20, maintaining that level of execution and getting yourself into a position where, like, is Western Kentucky's defense really going to keep Jordan Howard out of the end zone from 7 yards out in three plays?
183 yards on 34 carries
right.
last year.
So the point is you've got the ability there. You've just got to set yourself up. You got to get yourself – it's that old Bob Knight axiom. One, you got to be in position to be in
position.
Position
to get into position. Absolutely right. You have studied well for your exam. You can go take it now at the Holiday Inn, as you have Coach Wilson's show at 7 o'clock to take care of.
That's
hey,
right.
We appreciate your time. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
You can find Zach Osterman at Zach Osterman on Twitter, IndyStar.com. He is the beat writer for the Hoosiers football and basketball programs. We didn't get into any basketball today, so that means we'll have to have Zach back here in the short future. We've set the plate. Now it's Hilltopper time, 4 o'clock on Saturday, and we'll handle all of that when we return. It's 6:32. We went a little long there because Zach had to leave us quickly, but we'll take an extended break here, and when Terry and I get back, we'll give you our thoughts on Saturday's game and look ahead to see what else is happening in the world of college football, especially up there at the corner of 17th and Indiana. It's 6:33. It's In the Zone. It's WGCL. All right, here we go. In the Zone, 6:39 at WGCL. There's Terry Stoltz.
Looking good.
Always, even on the radio.
Yeah, face for radio. That's why we're here.
Tell you what, people send me pictures on the screen at the stop it already. My God, whatever confidence I have left is shattered. Shattered.
For a guy my age, I look pretty good,
well,
so I don't
do.
Care.
But the rest of us, I got to play the cards we're dealt here. And we have plenty of cards to deal for you. It is Wednesday night. The Reds stay in San Francisco to take on the Giants. I haven't got one of these right all night. Why would I start now? Reds and Giants. Todd Frazier's 10th inning home run last night won it for Cincinnati after Chapman blows the save in the bottom of the ninth. 9-8, the Reds win. That game probably got over at 3 o'clock in the morning. The only game went longer than that was the Dodgers loss.
Yeah, no kidding.
But that's the good news. Reds help you out, beat the Giants, and Dodgers fell last night, so no blood. 7.5-game lead in the West for Los Angeles. Dodgers and Rockies, I don't know if they went today, but again, Terry's rooting for the Reds tonight. 10:05 pregame from AT&T Park as the Redlegs, again, throwing all these young arms out there. It's an audition for next year. They're going to factor in the race because they got the Cardinals again next week. The Cardinals can't beat the Reds. Reds beat them 3 out of 4 last weekend.
That's right.
So we got Reds for you tonight. If that's not enough, sit down. We got more to do. Here we go. Denver, Kansas City, Thursday night, NFL football, 8 o'clock pregame tomorrow night. Friday night, South and Southport. The Panthers host the Cardinals. The Cardinals in 6A. South, number 4 in 5A. Notice the times, Terry. Chalk Talk, 7 p.m., kick at 7:30. Saturday, college football on the airwaves, our maiden voyage this year. Nebraska, Big Ten foe, at Miami of Florida.
Ooh,
tasty. Rose Bowl match from the Tom Osborne days. 3 p.m. is the kickoff from Coral Gables. Reds and Brewers, 7 o'clock Saturday night. So you're covered there. And if that's not enough for you, We'll wrap up the week with an NFL tripleheader on Sunday. Houston at Carolina kicks things off at 12:30. Miami and Jacksonville at 4. And Sunday Night Football, Seattle and Green Bay pregame starts immediately following the conclusion of Miami and Jacksonville. Where are the Colts? Where are the Colts?
Monday Night Football.
They bring in Todd Bowles and the New York Jets. The Jets hammered the Browns in Week 1 at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey, 31-10. The Colts, we know what happened to them. We'll do a little Colts action here in just a few minutes. Not a whole lot. We'll just get Terry's thoughts on it, because Dave and I will have an extended show on Monday, as we do all football season for you. We didn't last week because of the Monday Night Doubleheader, but we've got all night to preview, wrap up the week, end, and then preview everything of the Colts into Monday night. We'll have 90 minutes to do so. That's a plenty of time to get all of that covered. But our focus here for the next few minutes is Western Kentucky. The Hilltoppers coming to Bloomington to take on the Hoosiers. As we were opining off the air, Indiana went down there and opened their stadium a few years ago. Western Kentucky's only been in the big boy league for the last 7 years. This is year number seven, I believe, last 6 years. So they're new to it. The one thing that's going to keep you interested about Western Kentucky, I heard coaches from our side talk about them. I saw some of the videos from the folks down in Bowling Green on their newspaper sites that they said. Last year, I just saw this stat, Terry. Western Kentucky was the first program in NCAA history with a 4,500-yard passer and a 1,500-yard rusher on the same team. It got them to a bowl game. We know that. I believe they won the bowl game, didn't they?
I think they did,
I think
yes.
They finished 7-6 last year. It was the Bahamas Bowl.
Yeah.
Hey, you laugh. They went.
When's the last?
They, yeah, where they went.
Let's don't even
let's
talk
not,
about
that. Let's not even
that.
Worry about that right now. And the interesting thing I heard from their press conference, which made me scratch my head because I hadn't dug in and done all my homework yet, was, hey, if Indiana's defense is going to give us creases to run the ball, we're going to run the ball. If Indiana's defense, somebody asked him about their secondary. You know, it's been young. It's having some issues. He said, hey, if they're going to take away the pass, we'll be more than happy to run. If they're going to stack the box, we're more than happy to pass. And so I think, well, that's just coach speak. Who wouldn't say that? But when you have the balance we're talking about here, we talked maybe about the running back issues, their best guy not being available, but it sounds like next man up is their theory as well. And their quarterback's been there since 1997. He came to Western Kentucky the day after Pat Graham left IU.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's extended time.
My goodness.
No, you're right. And he is a dandy.
Brandon Doughty is his name. He is a six-year senior. That is no joke. Yep. And his numbers, Terry, give me a look at him, are ridiculous.
Yeah, he can throw the ball. He's, you know, he was 28 for 38 for 357 against Louisiana Tech last week, couple of touchdowns. 6'3", 220, you know, big kid. Obviously, he's been in the program forever. And he's poised. He's the leader of the team, and he's going to run that offense. Now, they just lost their running back for the rest of the year. Their number one running back, Leon Allen, is
surgery
out.
Yesterday morning. So, tough. And Indiana went through that with their quarterback last year, so yeah. it's sorry about it.
Yeah,
sorry about your luck.
It's football. That happens. So it'll be interesting. You know, they struggle against a mediocre at best Vanderbilt team, but they do win 14-12, you know, at Vanderbilt. Wasn't a picture-perfect game, but they win, and they come in 2-0. Two close games as they battle La Tech for a 41-38 win.
Yeah.
So we got two undefeated teams that's been in two close games.
And La Tech beat them by about 50 points last year. So that was their revenge game. I don't want to call it their bowl game just yet, but that game, they might have put a little extra effort into it. But luckily for Western Kentucky, that was a Thursday night game. So they get 2 days of rest, just like FIU did before they got here. We got FIU with the weather. Take that. You didn't expect it to be cold, did you? They were hoping it was going to be hot and humid up here, just like Miami. That wasn't the case. 38-21 last time they were there. Indiana was victorious, as the Hoosiers led 31-7 after three quarters, and that was back in 2010. Ben Chappell quarterbacking your Hoosiers that day, threw for 366. But that's not the point. The point is Western Kentucky's defense isn't all that great. This could, Terry, be a let's get healthy quick week. And as Zach mentioned before he left, Zach Osterman was with us earlier from the Indy Star. Western Kentucky is probably going to score some points too. So this has shootout written all over it?
I'd think so. I mean, we'll talk. We may give us some predictions here before we leave the air tonight. But yeah, I see shootout unless, you know, our young getting back T. Gray Scales and possibly Dutra could help that defense even further. You got a polished guy in the back that can call the defensive signals, help the young corners get where they need to get. Plus, he can also come up and help. Like Zach said, these guys spread it. They throw it all over the field. You get Scales back. You get, hopefully, Dutra back. It might offset it a little bit, but, yeah, I look at a shootout. I think this will be a fun game.
And you were looking at the numbers against Louisiana Tech, and one jumped out to you on the rushing side of Western's defense. Louisiana Tech's back had a nice day, and we know Jordan Howard had 183 on 34 carries. UAB beat Western Kentucky last year. I'm not comparing apples and oranges to that, but Jordan Howard's got to be licking his lips getting ready for this game.
Yeah, he knows with especially this experienced offensive line, and the way how well he's ran in the first two games for IU, and knowing what he did with them last year, and with this line, he probably, yeah, licking his chops, he probably can't wait.
And he's got some of his buddies playing on the Western Kentucky team, so they'll all have a nice handshake before the game. But he'll remind those buddies, too, hey, remember we did these guys last year? Well, I'm going to get the ball just a few more times again. Howard pounding his way. What do you have, 150 and change last week, 140 and change the week before? That's, he's almost at 300 yards, or right at 300 yards after two games. The other stat that sticks out for Western Kentucky, and I stole this from the guy that writes for him, and I apologize, Mr. Greenwell, but I thought it was funny. Western Kentucky leads the nation in margin, in turnover margin, -8. The wrong way.
Yeah, I knew
so
that's where you were going.
They are going to make some mistakes. Usually a team that has that many turnovers, T, in the first 2 weeks, all of a sudden doesn't clean it up and find a solution to that problem. So spreading the field out, going fast, quick. You know, if the ball's just behind a guy and hits off his hands and pops up in the air, that's where Scales is going to help you, and Dutra seeing the ball is going to help you. Can the defensive line get enough pressure? Can the defensive backfield keep guys in front of them? That's been the Indiana Achilles heel. We've seen too many big plays. And again, that wasn't Frank Gifford and Ken Stabler the first 2 weeks. That wasn't Peyton Manning and John Elway. These were decent college quarterbacks that are really nice players. But the offense that were being ran was not on the level of this. So the Hoosiers are going to have to cover sideline to sideline. And usually when you play fast, and usually when you want to get a lot of snaps, and usually when you run that many plays, you're going to have 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 guys in the defensive backfield contribute. 5 or 6 or 7 guys in the linebacking core contribute. You're going to try to get guys in and out to keep them fresh. So if Indiana can force some turnovers, which would seem natural,
they have been so far
in a situation like this, that is a situational defense that I think is more important than making sure you get 10 three and outs and you shut them down and you only get 128 yards. Look, I'd love for that to happen, but I'm not going to sit here and be ridiculous and tell you, well, if that doesn't happen, they're going to lose the ball game. They're not. Indiana has plenty of offense. It hasn't clicked yet where you think, oh, there could be a letdown week. There is still the arrow. We're ramping up. We've not plateaued and say, well, how can you keep up 600 yards per game and Sudfeld throw for 5 touchdowns every game? We haven't had to worry about that yet, but this defense just might be the key to unlocking some of that. You mentioned predictions. We will do that when we come back. It's 6:49 at WGCL. Show flies by when we've got good stuff to talk about. We'll give you our ideas on the Hoosiers and Hilltoppers. An interesting line movement as well that we will take a look at. And, again, shed some light on Western Kentucky and what they've done so far. 6:49, you're in the zone. It's Terry and Glass on a Wednesday night. It's WGCL. For the final time here on a Wednesday night, I'm Mike Glasgow. There's Terry Stultz.
Yes, sir.
You're in the zone here on WGCL. We'll hit it heavy on Monday night. You're in the zone and in the red zone, the extended program that takes you right into Colts pregame coverage. Colts and Jets Monday Night Football, 7:30. Pregame, 8:30 kick. So we'll have you 6 to 7:30 on this coming Monday night. When the Colts don't play Monday Night Football, it'll be 6 to 7:45. So we will get it on all the layers of college football, whether it's college, pro, you name it, we'll take care of it all in the red zone, the extended version, every Monday through football season. Thanks to all of our sponsors for making that happen. Western Kentucky comes to town, T. They've had two interesting games. One, a big one against Louisiana Tech, where the quarterback throws for 400 and whatever yards. He's thrown a touchdown in 16 consecutive games. Their yards against Vanderbilt in week one, they won that game in Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt threw two interceptions in their end zone from the 5-yard line and closer, and Vandy dropped a wide open touchdown pass that led to a field goal, a 4-point swing there. Western Kentucky, as we told you, got handled by UAB last year, and I'm not knocking UAB. They weren't doing enough to have their program be sustained, and Jordan Howard ran all over Western. But we know the offense is potent. We know the defense, I guess, can stand up a little bit. They did to Vanderbilt, but this one smells shootout, doesn't it?
Oh, it does smell shootout. Shout out to my boy Paul Gibson.
Oh boy, Gibby,
listening in Phoenix. From Phoenix, Arizona.
It's a dry
baby.
Heat, folks. It's a dry heat. Did he give you a prediction?
No, he said he had no clue.
He goes to learn.
He says, "Go IU."
That's why I'm listening to you guys.
I want to see what's going on. Shootout. Yeah, I mean, I'll just jump right to it. I'm going to say 42-38. I think Hoosiers are going to win.
Hoosiers opened as 3.5-point favorites. They're down to 1.5 in a lot of spots right now.
Interesting.
So it is interesting, but that's where the money moves most of the time. So I think people are reading into the Western Kentucky two victories a lot. I just told you a couple of reasons maybe why I don't like it. Louisiana Tech beat them by 100 points last year. I can't remember how bad it was, Terry. I have my shoes off and my gloves off. I'm up to 40. I can't get any higher than that. It wasn't good, and they put in a ton of effort and a ton of work to make sure that Louisiana Tech wasn't going to beat them again. So here they are 9 days after, and frankly, and I'm going to be frank, and you can be Terry, we don't get people's attention.
No.
And they have to come here. They're probably playing with the little house's money. They've never beaten a Big Ten opponent before. We went there last time, folks. We went down and opened their stadium. So Indiana should have the pedal to the metal, knowing that this is one of those games. If you don't win, you have to make up somewhere along your schedule. Is it dysfunctional Rutgers? Perhaps. Is it Purdue at the end of the year when they quit on Hazel again? Yeah, those are options, but that doesn't guarantee anything. Nothing is guaranteed. I like where the Hoosier program is right now because they're not at some level they haven't been at before, wondering where do we go from here? Mm-hmm. It's a constant improvement theme offensively and a constant improvement theme defensively, and you're going to have to score. Osterman's right. Finish drives, get the ball in the end zone. Quit goofing around with your little chicanery and trickery. Get the ball in the end zone and make them chase you.
Don't chase them.
Two games in a row, Indiana trailed a half T. Let's fix that. Yep. Let's keep the crowd there a little bit longer, get them a little bit more excited.
Just get a crowd out there, folks. 4 o'clock games are perfect.
It's been a good start. This could be a Goldilocks game. Too hot, too cold. This one could be just right,
yep.
And the Hoosiers win. I'm going to say 49-35 and a touchdown fest.
Thanks for
your effort this week. Appreciate it.
Always glad
Dave
to help.
And I are back Monday. Reds on the radio tonight in San Francisco, looking to take the series from the Giants. We'll be back next Monday. You've been in the zone.
Hey, if you need to sell your home without all the headaches most people experience, hey, Sean Hannity here to tell you that after years of buying